Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Shelley Metzenbaum, former Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management at OMB. Shelley, would you tell us more about the GPRA Modernization Act of 2010 and how it builds on the foundation of the original Government Performance and Results Act?
So the original law, the 1993 law, which asked agencies to start setting goals and measuring performance in 1997, had a few pilots, the Coast Guard being a noteworthy one, and there's fabulous lessons learned from the Coast Guard. They did an amazing job back then and still do, I believe. But one of the big changes between the original law and the current law, probably the biggest change, is the emphasis on use. So the first law, the 93 law, didn't say it wasn't about use. But it didn't say it was about use. And, you know, one of the things I often say is useful, useful, useful. If the goals and measures aren't useful, why bother doing it? It's probably wasteful. So it's really trying to get agencies, sub-agencies, individual, you know, the regional office, an individual in the regional office. We actually have an individual in the regional office who pokes me every so often and lets me know how they're using one of the goals to drive change working in their in a community. So it's really trying to get people to understand the power of a goal complemented by measurement and the analysis and the data-driven discussions to sort of make change on the ground, bring people in. So the goals and the measurement are useful both for communicating those priorities, for finding what works and what doesn't, so you can do more of what works and fix or stop doing what doesn't, but also for enlisting and engaging the intelligence, the innovation, the ideas, the experience, and the assistance, both of people in government and people outside government. And so I think GPRA modernization really was about that use. So it was really the value proposition of using the information, of using performance information. And then on top of that, it was very much about being much more clear about accountability expectations, the roles and responsibilities of different parties. So it creates both the chief operating officer, who's supposed to do the quarterly performance reviews on the priority goals. So again, setting priorities, and I guess it added the setting priorities as well, but chief operating officers running at least once a quarter running reviews. And now we know that's happening in all the agencies. It was our understanding that it would happen in about two of the agencies before this, the departments, I should say. It is goal leaders, where we designate goal leaders for the priority goals. Who is the person responsible for driving change? Who is the person authorized to drive that change? But then also accountability expectations. And this isn't laid out explicitly in GPRA modernization, but it's the way we're trying to implement because we think it's the spirit of GPRA modernization, which is we want stretch targets, the ambitious targets, which means, and we've said this in the guidance that OMB has put out, which is that if we see an agency, a department that's making all of its goals all the time, we will follow up with them because we will believe that they're not sufficiently ambitious. And you really want stretch targets that get you, that stimulate that innovation. So GPRA modernization was really about use. It was about this ownership. It was about getting the accountability expectations right and bringing alive something that had become a planning and reporting requirement, which I don't think was its intent, but sort of bringing it alive so it drives action on a regular basis, both the long-term strategic decision-making and actions that need to follow that, and the shorter term, how do we iterate, how do we get fast feedback so we can adjust our actions quickly and make sure people are trying to work that way.
Mm-hmm. It's really led to a new performance management framework for the federal government. OMB articulated four goals as well as three strategies to achieve these goals. Could you elaborate on the four goals and perhaps tell us a little bit about those strategies?
Sure. So this is part of walking the talk. If we're going to ask all the agencies to lay out their objectives, we should probably do the same for ours. So the four objectives that we've set forward for our performance management framework, our performance improvement framework, one, improve outcomes. Impact on people's lives is really trying to make that change on the ground. Second, return on investment is once you found an effective practice, whether it is you're trying to help students in the lowest performing schools thrive, graduate, et cetera, once you found effective practices, can you find ways of getting a higher return on investment. So either get the same, even better practices for the same amount of money, or reduce the cost of what you're trying to deliver on. So with housing and urban development, taking affordable housing and saying, how can we, with our existing budget, get more families into affordable housing, which then got them to look at things like the occupancy rate. Can we get the occupancy rate up? A third area is the quality of interactions with the federal government. So, you know, we do a lot of transactions. The Social Security Administration, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, they do a lot of transactions with the general public, our passport work, things like that, making sure we improve the quality and have high-quality interactions. We also do a lot of internal work, so the Office of Personnel Management, or GSA, with customers within the federal government. How do we improve the quality of those interactions? And then finally, what I call democratic accountability, but it's really making sure the helping the public understand better what government, why government exists, what it's trying to accomplish, the strategies it's using, and how well it's doing that. So those are the four objectives we've laid out. And then we laid out three strategies, and I'm the only person who sort of promotes on the reading list analytic perspectives, but if you look at our analytic perspectives for over the last few years, we laid out these strategies, and the first one that once I had come into the position that I held, which was use performance goals and information to improve outcomes and accountability, communicate it to support learning, to, you know, to help the public understand. So use, communicate, and network. That very few folks do much of this on their own, very few agencies, very few individuals, very few leaders. You need to network. You need to think about who your delivery allies are and using the goals and measures as a way of enlisting and engaging them. So it was use, communicate, and network.
So you, throughout our conversation, have mentioned the importance of evidence. And I'd like to turn to that and understand better the program evaluation tools that many federal agencies are using. Could you elaborate on some of those? And how does engaging in sort of a program evaluation approach create a culture of continuous improvement?
So, sure. First of all, as I said earlier, one of the things that most surprised me was the divide between performance goal setting and measurement and the evidence work. There shouldn't have been a divide. We need to think about this as one big whole. And in fact, if you look at another chapter, I think it's chapter 8 in this year's analytic perspectives and possibly last year's, but we tried to take on how these two, the performance goals, measurement, evidence, all relate to each other. We also talk about it in chapter 3 of the budget itself, the delivering 21st century government. And I think I want to get you to think about evidence and ask folks listening to think about evidence in two categories. One is the evidence you need to figure out what your priority problems ought to be. So counting and characterizing the world in which the mission of your organization is focused so that you understand where you ought to be focusing your efforts. So in the case of Interior, looking at the high violent crime reservations. In the case of National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, basically saying we're going to look at certain kinds of problems like distracted driving. How do they do that? They have tons of data that they have tagged in different ways that lets them slice and dice the data to say, where should we be focusing? And I think the first part of evidence is actually starting to understand your opportunities and your problems that you're looking at and the characteristics of them. So you can say, where should we focus? Data will not always answer that question. Sometimes you need some value-based judgments about that. Sometimes you need some intuition. But the data can really help you understand the scope of a problem or the scope of an opportunity so that it informs your priority setting, it informs the goal setting. So that's one kind of evidence, and there's a lot of data out there, and there's a lot of administrative data like emergency room data and things like that that we don't necessarily use, but we could. Or do we have the same people coming to emergency rooms over and over again using up a lot of the costs? If so, is there something we can do by focusing on them that we would actually be able to prevent some of this from happening? So it's thinking about that data on the front end to say, where do we focus? Where's our opportunities for action? Then there's the question about the treatments. What are the effective treatments? So we know a lot about this from the world of medicine and drugs, where they do controlled studies and randomized controlled studies to compare a drug action to a non-drug action or another drug or whatever. And you randomly assign by saying we're going to have the same number, you know, we're going to just take a pot of folks who are going to get the drugs, but some are going to get the real drugs, some are going to get a placebo. We want to do the same in how we deliver government programs, okay? So if I'm trying to clean the water, it's not easy to randomly assign, but I can actually learn a little bit more by different kinds of practices. Energy conservation is an area where you can do a lot of good research to see what gets people to change their behavior to conserve energy. As I said earlier, there's some work going on in terms of enforcement letters, what makes people change behavior. There's huge amounts of potential here in terms of how do you find effective treatments, both by looking at past experience and evaluating retrospectively where you see the variations and trying to control for other background variables that could make a difference, and in terms of integrating experiments into agency action. So I'll give you one area where there may be some opportunity that I think and hope the agencies are exploring, which is getting electronic filing, increasing electronic filing, which can you want to improve the customer experience and save the government money. Well, let's experiment with different kinds of practices to see if we can get the target populations who are not the ones doing the electronic filing in doing more electronic filing and actually, as a result of it, feeling like they had a better quality interaction with the government. So it's integrating evidence into agency operations. And so we're trying to do that much more. At the Department of Labor, you have some really exciting work going on where the person who's the head of the evaluation shop is working with the performance management folks and the deputy secretary, now the acting secretary, and they're really working with the program offices to figure out what are the right questions to ask, you know, how do we move this forward? And there's some very exciting work at education with tiered evidence. How do you work with grantees on this to get the data you need to find what's working so you can do more of it and fix what's not? So it's integrating all of this. That gets to be very exciting, and we're hoping across the federal government folks will do that.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that integration. Now that you're sort of stepped away, and you've mentioned earlier one of the challenges or one of the surprises was the separation of performance management from program evaluation. How would you address bridging these two complementary efforts?
So I think the bridging has begun. There's people outside the federal government who are trying to do that. There are people within the federal government who are trying to do that. I know my office has worked very closely with the evidence parts of OMB to work as a whole rather than separate parts, to work with other parts of you know, the Office of Science and Technology Policy to try and work as one and then support the agencies. So there are I don't know if it's a brown bag or what, but a brown bag I think is coming up to try and help people understand how you bring this together. Agencies are embarking right now on the strategic planning where they need to set strategic goals and objectives. And then again, the GPRA modernization law requires an annual review on those strategic objectives. It requires an annual review on the goals. OMB needs to review that, but agencies ought to get started at that. OMB is asking agencies to really think hard about the strategic objectives so that it stays outcome focused, and thinking about the annual reviews and in thinking about that in their strategic planning and their annual plans, their targets, what evaluations do they need? Do they have the evidence? If so, are they going to try and roll it out? If they don't have it, how are they going to get it? So there's a concept called tiered evidence that we put into the budget, but it's really trying to get that as just a way of doing business. At the same time, I think it's bringing the academic community, who's both doing some of the research as well as training a lot of the students who will either work in government or do the research, and the advocacy community, there are now an increasing number of advocates out there pushing for evidence, bringing us all together so that it's practical. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be better. And it has to be appropriately rigorous. It doesn't have to be always a perfect randomized controlled trial. And I think there's an increasing appreciation of It's appropriate to do a randomized controlled trial in some cases, and in other cases, there are other methodologies that may be very useful, difference in differences, and I don't consider myself a methodologist or whatever the word is. But I think it's building understanding of that and then building capacity and application of it. And I think we're at a very exciting time right now. I think that's beginning to happen, and the trajectory is on, on the right curve.
What does the future hold for federal performance management? We will ask Shelley Metzenbaum, former Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management at OMB, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.